the Fraser Coast region. I'm Jussie Lindeberg, your host of Everything Fraser Coast, and just mixing it up a little bit today. Never introduced that way before. I'm joined today in my studio with Kate Fallick, a lovely lady. Of course she's lovely and she's absolutely beautiful. And I met Kate, I'm thinking about a year ago. Gosh, time flies. And Kate's come to the Fraser Coast and she has an interesting bit of a story to share on what brought her here. And I'd really like to share Kate's story with you. So hello, Kate.
Hello, Jussie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you are welcome. And please don't be afraid of my microphone.
Okay.
You can get intimate with it.
Great. I'm leaning.
No one with corona's been here, okay? Promise.
Good, no
worries. Did you sign my register?
Yeah, all sorted.
Hey, so Kate, I met you at a art therapy workshop, which I went to Wendy House's workshop.
That's right.
And just, you were one of the lovely people around the table that I met that day. And ever since then, I've been keeping in touch with you and saying, oh, come and do a podcast. And then you just came up on my radar again.
Fantastic.
And this time our worlds aligned, our calendars aligned, and you've come in today. So it's so lovely
to
have a bit of your time today.
Yeah, good to be here. Thank you.
So you haven't had a chance to say much yet. So please, would you like to share a little bit about you, like I guess before the Fraser Coast?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I basically started yoga 15 years ago, and I guess that's sort of the journey that, you know, I'm now sharing yoga classes in the coast. So my journey before then was living in Brisbane, and then went overseas to live, and then sort of in between had done a lot of travel and you know, started yoga training in India, or started yoga in India actually. And so all of those things combined, I guess, are why I'm here today.
Oh my gosh, a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you grow up in Brisbane?
Yeah, I grew up, first of all, as a kid, small kid, in country town New South Wales called Camden, and then moved to Brisbane when I was 12.
Oh my gosh, I've got a Camden story.
Oh, really? Oh, beautiful.
Can I tell you?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so in around like 1990-something, I went to a Desperate and Dateless ball. They were really massive in Sydney at the time, and they were held at like Darling Harbour.
Yeah.
And you sort of, it was before internet dating and everything, so you'd fill in the little form of what you wanted and you'd have to put in what your height was. And funny story, my friend who went with me, Lorraine, she wanted a really tall date, so she made out that she was 6 foot tall and she ended up with this guy that was like nearly 7 foot tall, and he was but she wasn't, she was only like 5 foot. It was absolutely hilarious. But my story is I actually got paired up with this guy who was a tree lopper from Camden.
Wow.
And yeah, we became friends for a bit, but he was a long way away from Sydney.
Yeah. I think it's as a kid it was. I think now, you know, the freeways and that, it just seems all a bit closer, and maybe I think you can get there a lot quicker now than when I was a kid. It was like an hour and a half away, and it felt felt like a different.
You would have been probably in Camden maybe when I was there.
Yeah.
So were you around there then?
I moved up to Brisbane in 87.
Oh no, okay.
So yeah, probably just missed you but only as a kid. It was a lovely place to grow up, you know.
My gosh, you might have known my date.
Oh, I might have.
Because it's pretty small.
It is a small place.
It was honestly that kind of town that if you sort of had a big sneeze, you would miss it as you drove through.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to try and remember his name.
Yeah, that would be funny. We might have gone.
He wasn't too bright, but he had a really good body because he climbed trees and chopped them down.
If I'd been a little bit older when I lived there, I might have dated him. You never know. But I got out when I was 12. So.
Okay, so then you end up in Brisbane. But okay, and then you just said that you learnt, did you study to learn yoga in India?
Yes.
Who does that?
No, I was really blessed with that opportunity.
Oh,
it just happened. It wasn't
how?
Something that was
how
planned.
Does this just happen?
I did a lot of travelling when I moved to Brizzy, and you know, worked for about 7 years, and then decided to just up and leave the job and everything and go travelling for, well, if you want the full story, I heard that Pink Floyd was playing at the pyramids in Egypt and for the millennium, and I went, oh, that's it, that's a gig, I'm going. And then it turned out that it was a global hoax. I don't know if anyone else listening had heard of that hoax, but I'd quit my job of 7 years, and I gave my car away to be, you know, just everything, sort of gave up everything in life to go traveling. And mainly not I can't remember deeply wanting to see the world so much, but it was just that just really appealed to me. And I wasn't even a massive, I mean, I like Pink Floyd, but I wasn't even a, you know, diehard fan. And it was just something that went, oh, I'm going to that. That's it. And
it's different.
So I listened to that intuition. And it turned out, you know, I got the visa for England in case I liked being overseas. No big plans to necessarily work there, but just in case. And then I went and did a little bit of Europe first. So, you know, 6 weeks into Europe, I'm in a cafe in Amsterdam, as you are. And then I basically got an email from a friend in Australia going, you know that concert you sort of, you know, gave your whole life up for? It's a global hoax, mate. I just went, what? And so that, but I just laughed and went, wow, well, it's set me off on this adventure,
yeah,
and I'm really
right.
loving traveling. So maybe that's just what it had to happen.
Well, yeah, maybe it was anything that fell on in your stars
yeah.
that day. I like Pink Floyd too,
yeah, yeah.
but it's, yeah. it can be too, I don't think yes. I could sit through a whole concert.
Yeah, no, no. I think it was the thought of the light show that they do, you know, the incredible laser show they were
yeah.
famous for. I've never seen them in concert until, oh, I did later on in London just for a few songs.
Yep.
They played at the Live Aid charity and I saw that in London. So that was funny that that did happen. But I wasn't, yeah, it's just, a few of the songs I really like, but it was just more the thought of out of, in front of the pyramids and the
yeah.
Sphinx, this amazing light show, and I loved that song Wish You Were Here, and you know, just things like that. I just thought, oh, that could really be something to do in life.
Wow,
you know,
so my gosh, yeah. What job did you have at the time in Brisbane?
I was working for Parmalat, the dairy company that used to be Paul's Milk,
yeah.
and I had sort of worked my way up to different roles, and I was doing a little bit of librarian work in their library. They've got all these dairy books, and then I've got worked as a secretary and yeah, in the supply department. So, I worked my way up from the post room and sort of really every year seemed to move to a better position. And it was a very good employer at that time and
yeah.
really good bunch of colleagues. So I was very happy and content with life. It wasn't so like I was like, right, I've got to get out of here. It was just that, I don't know, something sparked.
You needed an adventure.
And, yeah.
and my gosh, what
yeah,
an adventure. So
yeah.
get back to
yes,
how
so
you end up in India.
Yeah, so I ended up travelling for 7 years I was away, and the last place I went to was India, which I, once again, you get a 6 month visa, and I didn't know how that would be, so I just went, oh yeah, okay. You know, I'd done a fair bit of travel then, Middle East and Europe and etc. So I felt like I was prepped for India, but India had kind of called me, you know, it was the one I was like, oh, that seems like an exotic place, I want to go there. And yeah, took off and didn't know what to expect, just knew that it would be a sensory overload. In
was this on your own?
No, I actually did go there originally with a boyfriend. We split up pretty quick. India seemed to tear us apart pretty quickly, but we're still very good friends. But I think India has that capacity to really, you know, just either rip you apart or put you together, or, you know, it's a very, if you allow it to be, it can be a really life-changing experience. And so,
sounds like a total awakening.
Yeah, yeah, it really was in ways. I think the whole travel journey was, but I thought that was definitely part of it. And I resisted yoga. I was there for 6 months, and I resisted yoga for a lot of that time, which
Why?
Is quite funny now. I think because everyone was doing it. I think a lot of the people traveling India, so I was like, oh, I'm not that interested, you know. And I only knew of celebrities doing that. And then finally, I actually was had planned to give up cigarettes because I used to be a smoker, and I knew that I needed a good habit to exchange this not so healthy habit. And so I ended up getting up to the north of India in the foothills of the Himalayas, and I feel really blessed. I started my yoga journey there, and just this one place, it was Dharamkot. It's a small village near Dharamsala, where the Dalai Lama lives. So it was like 20 minutes walk.
Oh, he's your neighbour.
Yeah, yeah, he was my neighbour. He wasn't always in town, but he was. Yeah, it was pretty a special place in the Himalayas, and I was volunteering, teaching.
I would have asked him if I could house.
Yeah, that would have been a good gig. Yeah, yeah, I did visit where he, you know, hit the temple there, and because a lot of the Tibetans have moved, had to move to northern India as refugees. So it's a beautiful place, the Himalayas. The foothills of the Himalayas, where you've got a lot of Tibetan culture as well. And so basically I just fell in love with the place, and I was volunteering teaching English to some of the Tibetans. A lot of them were monks, so that was just pretty amazing. We'd sit on the rooftop and I'd teach a little bit of English, never taught in that way before, and just looking at the mountains and the rooftop. It was a pretty special time. And just happened to, when I arrived in that place, the guest house I chose was literally two doors down from a yoga center, the Himalayan Iyengar Yoga
Center. Oh, this
center.
Yoga keeps slapping you in the
That's
face.
That's it. And it was just, you know what? Yeah, this is, I'm going to give this a go. This will help me to, you know, exchange habits. And it did. I just, it was a hardcore, maybe not hardcore, but it was a profound first experience of yoga, because it wasn't like here where you do shorter classes. The classes were 4.5 to 5.5 hours long a day. And you did 5 days a week with the teacher, and I did that for a month. And I just was different when I came out, and not different, you know, forever, but it was just different as in it had really blown my mind in body, mind, spirit sort of way. And it just helped me to live a different life. And that's been obviously an ongoing journey, but it just, really kind of just settled over the years, have settled down a lot. Like, I used to be quite a wild child. That was great fun, and, you know, all the traveling. So I had that sort of wild, free spirit sort of thing, and still do. But yoga's helped me to sort of turn it down to a more wholesome, positive thing for myself. Yeah, and it's an ongoing journey. But just that first class, there's something that he shared a bit of the yoga philosophy, and there's something within me just went, wow, this is it for me. And it just has been for the last 15 years.
Yeah. Wow. So it's been 15 years.
Yeah. And just absolutely love it. And love all the different parts of it too. You know, like, some people just like the stretching and the physical, which is great. But I just, for me, it's been so wonderful to absorb all of those different parts of yoga. And the spiritual side for me has been really helpful. But also for the physical, it helps your body, it helps your mind, it helps, you know. And it's... yeah, it just sort of ticks a lot of boxes, and that was just really lovely. So I basically did 3 teacher trainings just purely because I couldn't get enough of it, just wanted to learn, and was very hungry for as much yoga knowledge and as much yoga philosophy as I could get. And so I went back to India another 3 times, so I've been 4 times, and couldn't get enough of, so spent pretty much almost a year there, 11 months. Time in actual India, and then the rest was just devoted to yoga and yoga training and experiences in ashrams, and it's pretty amazing. So I miss it. I miss India a lot, but you know, I'll get there another time.
Yeah, you'll go back.
Yeah. So I guess with the teacher training, then I just went on and I did the first couple of trainings just to learn more myself, not necessarily to be a teacher, but by then friends were asking me for classes, and it just happened like that. And then all of a sudden I was filling in for other teachers, and then had my own center down in Brisbane, the first eco-friendly center in Brisbane, and then went back to London again, actually, for a few years. I was here for Australia for 7 years again then, and then went back to England for another 4 years, and then I come back to Hervey Bay because my parents had retired here.
And is so I don't do yoga.
Yeah.
I've had a go at yoga probably about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I find, just with MS, because I can't curl my toes and there's a few things I can't do that have just put me off going to yoga. But are you able to adapt yoga to what you actually can do?
Yeah, sure. It's really important, I think, that we do adapt it for ourselves rather than try and fit in this actual, you know, this pose, it should look like this. When we've got different bodies and we've also got different things going on with those bodies. There is an actual official thing called yoga therapy, which is very much to that. So you would actually treat the person therapeutically by guiding them through what's right with how to move the body, how to stretch and strengthen, but also how to breathe and meditate, etc. And that all helps the healing of whatever condition. So there's some really brilliant specialists in that field that I'd highly recommend to someone who's got a real specialist thing. In a group class, it is trickier to, I mean, I do try to cater for all levels and everything. There is certainly things, I'd suggest getting a private teacher if you're really specific, or getting a teacher that can, you know, specifically deal with conditions like that, because you'll get the most out of it.
Yeah.
You certainly don't want to miss out if it is something like just, you know, can't curling toes and that, because there's so much you can do with that. But it's sometimes not as great or safe for someone like that to be in a group class where everyone's, you know, being guided this way and that. And I always try and offer individual things, and for different flexibilities and for different experience, it works well. the main thing is that people need to be comfortable themselves with doing something different to the rest of the group. And the people who are really thrive, and the people who aren't, then it's best if they get, you know, private tuition or something, just to be on the safe side with that stuff. Yeah.
Can I ask you another question?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on yoga with goats? I've seen that on YouTube.
Yoga with goats. There's quite a few funny little quirky types of yoga that have popped up. I guess people are trying to find their niche because, you know, we're all, I guess, needing to make a living. It's not like in yoga traditionally in India, the community would support, you know, a guru where it's, you know, an enlightened being, so they don't have to worry about the material needs so much. We're mere humans over here teaching yoga in the West, so...
You've got to pay rent.
Yeah, so I think some people are trying to find their individual niche to stand out. I think it's really great fun. You know, like I think you could go and have a wonderful day. I've heard of people having a wonderful time doing some stretching and having fun with goats. And I think it's probably more, you know, laughing and time with animals and just being out in the open and having a joke. I think that's where the therapy is with that stuff, rather than it's not a deep meditation because you know, there's too much distraction going on. But I'm sure in some way, you know, yoga is that word yoga does mean you, means union, so that can be union with the body, mind, spirit, and you know, for people who are taking the spiritual side of yoga, that means union with the divine. But it's in a sense of not believing that it's outside of you, it's actually believing in your soul that is part of that, so you're connected to that already. It's just remembering that and you know, dusting off the heart, to say, and opening it up, which is really beautiful.
It is,
and it's just, you know, and if people aren't really into that, then it's a safe space also to just go and explore your body, because you'll start to notice that your body's connected to the breathing and to the mind, because we know if we're stressed, our body gets tired, and you know, everything's connected, the body, mind, emotions, breath, and the breath takes us to that other, you know, deeper realm of what people call spirit, but you can call it universe or love, you know, unconditional love. My teacher used to say that, you know, if the words God and goddess don't suit you, then use love or life, or you know, something that resonates in that deeper pious place in your heart.
Yeah,
that's nice. That keeps it safe for everyone that way, without weirdness.
Can you share what your other skill is?
Yeah, I love singing, and it started probably because the first, going back to that teacher in India, like you do a few days yoga with him, and it was on the first week, and he said, right, well, so come over tonight to all the students, and anyone who's up for it, we can sit by the fire and we'll sing mantras. And mantras are beautiful healing vibrations to speak or to sing. And that was, I didn't know it at the time, but that was my first introduction to kirtan, which is a yoga practice. It's called bhakti yoga, and it's the yoga practice of devotion, but it's beautiful because you sing mantras. And so for people who like singing, or people who have more of the emotional nature, it's not so much people who are more intellectual and need that rational side, that they're more drawn to the other styles of yoga. So it's a different style, but for me, I love singing, and I've grown to love singing. My dad was a singer, so I guess, you know, I love music and I love singing, but it was more, I think, for me, just that there was something about that, sitting in the Himalayas by a fire singing mantras with my yoga teacher, just it felt so magical at the time. So I've always kept that part of the practice, and at the first few years it was just listening to music. There's lots of beautiful music out there by, you know, traditional Indian but also modern Western singers and groups that are doing mantras, whether they're doing it slow like Deva Pramal or quick like you know, other kirtan artists and that. So, yeah, I've started to, now I play the harmonium, you know, very basically, but I love to offer that. I offer a class where we sing mantras at night, and it's just beautiful. We sing, it really opens the heart, because singing does anyway, and there's something special about the Sanskrit. It's the ancient language of India, so it's very high vibrational, and you can feel, you know, if you're sensitive, you can really feel the body buzzing afterwards. It's wonderful. And I have been in choirs over the years. I've been in a wonderful choir in England, and we used to sing at Stonehenge for solstice and stuff like that. But it's interesting because I used to, you know, we'd do 5 or 6 hours of practice, and I'd get really tired after that, and yet I can go to a 12-13 hour event of chanting the Sanskrit and I'm full of being. So there's something to the Sanskrit that is really, that I found to be really potent, and yeah, it's beautiful practice.
So the chanting, and what was the other word you said?
Yeah, it's called Kirtan. So chanting, I guess, is all of it, because you could either speak it or you could practice it silently, or you could chant the mantra, you know, just gently to yourself, or you can sing it. And kirtan is a practice where they sing, and it can be like call and response, where the person leading it can sing it and then other people answer, or you can sing it together in a bhajan kind of way.
Okay. That was going to be my next question, is how do you learn these lyrics?
Yeah, it's. I mean, in my class, I have little chant sheets, so people just get used to. It helps them if they need to see the visual, which can often be if they're not used to Sanskrit. I just learnt by listening. I wasn't given chant sheets early on. It was my teacher sitting by the fire with a guitar, and he was singing, you know, these Om Namah Shivaya sort of mantras, and I was like, oh, okay. I just picked it up. But I have found, it's just a very natural thing for me, to learn the Sanskrit, not in a academic way, but in a, you know, just the singing, if there's simple sort of chants, I've picked it up.
Yeah. So yeah. What language is it sung in?
Yeah, Sanskrit's the ancient language of India. Yeah, so they currently speak Hindi, but Sanskrit is the ancient language, so people might be familiar with Om, that's a Sanskrit syllable. Yeah, it's a really beautiful language. They say it came from meditation rather than thinking about it with the mind and going, oh, that's called a pen, or that's called a, you know, rock. It came from meditation, so it's beautiful in that way, that they believe your DNA knows that language.
Yeah. And so the mantras, are they like affirmations for life? Is that what you're singing?
Yeah.
It's translated.
They've got different, you know, it's more, they're little, like little seeds full of energy, and you're just planting the seeds by saying them, and then the seeds will start to grow and blossom within to awaken your higher self, basically, is the belief in that. You can do it for physical health. You can do it because it really, any singing opens up the lungs, and that's why my singing voice has improved over the years, just from practice. It's not, you know, it really has got stronger, and it's been amazing to just watch that. Even from a singing point of view, it's really good for you. You know, obviously the breathing, because you're singing and
controlling that.
Yeah. So
do you find that you do deeper breathing?
Yeah, I think the lungs just open up just from the, you know, you're doing a different kind of practice that involves sometimes singing, and then to take a breath. So it's inviting the lungs to open up, and often it can clear, you know, you can cough or yawn a lot when you first start, because the lungs are getting that opening up. You know, often we're only using that bottom third of our lungs, and some of the breathing techniques and yoga and the chanting really help to get up into the top two thirds of the lungs. Yeah.
I'm really curious. Mm. Would you be interested in teaching me a chant?
Yes, of course.
Into the microphone?
Yeah, sure.
Let's demonstrate this.
I should have brought my harmonium.
you should have. Never mind, no, it's okay. I can clap or...
Sure.
We can do this, what do you call it? What is it when there's no music?
Oh, yeah, no, a cappella.
A cappella.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, no problem.
Just for the listeners, when you hear the really, really good voice, that's not me.
Oh, I don't know. You never know. Everyone's got a good voice with it, and it's just the need to practice.
Okay. Shall we do the echo?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So,
and the tension builds.
I should have bought my harmonium. At least we would have had a nice drone behind it. Sorry.
I just had to pause that for a second because my dear friend Tammy just arrived, and Tammy's got a lovely singing voice. And we were just talking because Kate, let me backtrack for Tammy. So the listeners will be already aware of this, but Tammy has no idea. So Kate
here. Yeah, I'm really
here,
clueless right now.
Kate has an amazing story with her yoga training in India.
Oh.
But she also does chanting. Mm-hmm. And I had just literally asked Kate, could she teach me a chant? And then enter stage left Tammy, and like, you've got a lovely singing voice, so I thought maybe it'll be better with three voices.
We can give this a shot.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
Are you happy to have a go? Just like.
You can try anything.
Do you need to warm up? La 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 la.
No, I've been singing on the way in. Should be right.
Warmed up. Okay.
So I'll keep it nice and simple. So
can you start again? Yeah. Would you mind explaining the one that you recommend?
Sure. So we're going to just try a nice simple one. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. So we'll do it call and response. So I'll sing it and you can just repeat it. Okay. And if you want, the first few, I can do it with you while you sing the repeat, just so
yeah, let's
confident.
Do that. Yeah.
Can we just break it down again for me?
Yep, sure. And then what we'll do after that is then you can feel free to harmonise and just go off and make it a bit of jazz. Like you can go Ganapati, Ganapati.
Putting that microphone in front of you.
Yeah, so once we'll see how it goes anyway. You can always edit it if it doesn't work.
No, I'm not going to edit this.
Fantastic. I love it.
Oh, right. This is raw
just
raw
wish,
jazz.
I just really wish I had my ukulele.
There you go. Yeah, I didn't think to bring it. Okay. Om. Gum. As in gums. Ganapataye.
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 Namaha.
Namaha.
Well done.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It just flows really easy.
So what does that mean?
It means I bow to the energy in the universe that helps me remove obstacles. And there is a deity called Ganesha in India. He's really so cute. Beautiful. Elephant head. I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's got chubby belly. Yes.
I just wish you had been a little bit witty there and really thrown a curveball at what that translated to. But the real meaning is much nicer.
Yes. Yeah. I know. I didn't.
You could have really hooked Tammy in there.
Well, I wasn't. I am your queen now to me. There we go.
Yes. Let's do
it's
this.
Actually, really, you know, you're singing to this higher power that is you. So you're singing to your own queen. Yeah, in that way. But, you know, depends how you look at it.
This
okay.
is fabulous,
Should
Kate.
Should we do it?
Yes.
Okay. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. 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 Ganapataye.
Yeah, that's
I know.
Me. It's tricky.
It's really tricky. That's fine. You're doing great.
I do feel like I need a bit of special education
here.
Yeah,
no, it's a. You've just dived into a whole new world of language and music.
Yeah,
you've done well. Do you want me to slow it down or just keep repeating?
What do you reckon?
Or a simpler one? Should I do a little, try and find a simpler one?
Well, I'm okay. No. From my musical background, and I remember going to a music school. For a summer music school, and we had to sing Mozart, and it's all in Latin.
Wow.
And the idea was that you, the words didn't matter as much as the music and the tune and the heart that you put behind it.
Beautiful. Yeah. And that's perfect because actually the bhakti yoga practice that this all is actually all mostly about the bhav, the feeling that you sing with the heart. Yeah. Your intentions of singing with devotion to your higher self, your soul, and the greater thing of the universe, whatever that means to you.
Well, what we might do is we'll just, would you mind just sharing how people can find you, get in touch with you, and then you can take us out with a song.
Okay.
And you can pick which one.
Okay, cool.
We're up front, aren't we, Tam?
Yeah, sure.
I'm so glad you joined us.
Yeah,
you do have a good voice.
Thank you. No, I'm not standing out very much here, but that's fine.
No, well, it's hard when you don't know. Yeah, you've done beautifully. You've called on really quick.
So, Kate Thalick, and what's your business name?
On Facebook, I'm Yoga with Kate Chamundi. Yeah, Chamundi is my yogi name. So, Yoga with Kate, and it's a dash Chamundi.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just Yoga with Kate, really.
And where and when do you do yoga?
Yeah, at the moment I've got 7 classes. 5 of them are at the CWA Hall at Yarangan. It's Poole Street, right next door to that nice cafe.
Damon Cafe.
Love it. Yeah, it's great. And it's a nice place to go for something afterwards if you want. And then... there's 3 weekend classes in the Saturday mornings. There's an early one Saturday, 9 a.m, 7 a.m, 9 a.m, and Sunday 9 a.m. And then I've got Wednesday 6 p.m. and then the Wednesday 7:30 p.m. is the kirtan chanting as well. So that's the CWA. And then I teach at the PCYC a couple of classes as well. Tuesdays and Thursday mornings at 10. So you're welcome to join me wherever it suits.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's nice because they're a lovely community. Organization as well.
So top and tail of the bay.
It's
awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, take us out, Kate. Okay. We're up for it, aren't we, Tam?
Yep.
Should I sing one that may all beings be happy and well? Because it just seems like that's a nice thing to wish the world right now. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka
Samasta, Sukino, Bhavantu, and we shine like diamonds in the sun. Every one of us shines. We shine like diamonds in the sun. Every one of us shines. Luca,
Samasta,
Sukino, Bhavantu. Luca,
Samasta,
Sukino,
Bhavantu.
May all beings be happy and free.
Amen.
That's awesome. That's Kate Foley.
That's a song by Girish. So
Yoga with Kate.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. That's thanks, you Tammy.
Thanks for having your beautiful voice.
No, you're welcome. Para 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 para. Da 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 da